So we're going to do many questions a little bit differently. Here's how it's going to work. I'm not going to ask you any questions. You are going to ask me questions. If the question is related to the sermon last night or yesterday morning, either of those, right? If it's related, it's got to come from one of those services, you get a minute. If I can't answer your question and it's from those services, you get 2 minutes. Okay? So, let's go to some questions. Lacey. Oh, no, it's got to be. Let's see, let me refine it a bit. These are refresher questions about what was preached. Okay? So you gotta think about something you got from the services yesterday and ask me a quiz question from those sermons. Does that make sense? But the answer to your question in 2000. Near 2000, did I say? There's four, but four. Is that the right? It was? Yes, it was. There's four. And I can hear that before I looked at my note. That hurt too. That was painful. Who was it?
I don't know.
Oh, give me a minute back. You don't know? Give me a minute back. Who was it? You're behind you. Who read it? Who did the first thing you read? Like, opposing force, when there's that opposition. You know, it's all well and good to talk about Christ as our captain, but the necessity for a captain and for there to be a tending on our part to our salvation and where we stand. The only play time that there's a necessity for that is when the reality is that there's an opposing force. To be on the side of good only matters when there is a side of evil. Go back to the Garden of Eden, when God had made all things. And he said, behold, it is very good. And there was no strife, there was no fight. There was no need for Adam and Eve to choose which side they were on, because there was only one side to be on, and that was everything was good. But then the devil came along. And that enemy changed everything. In 1944, this part of the world was filled with soldiers. And it wasn't because we decided we were going to go start fighting somewhere. It's because somebody started a fight with us. Somebody stepped up and said, I'm going to be an enemy. You might want there to be two sides. You might want there to have to be a choice, but that's just a fantasy land. There is an enemy. But there is a war afoot. Hebrews 2 says, our captain destroyed him who had power of death, that is, the devil. Are you ready for Bob? Matthew 25, 31. Let's have a word of prayer. Ask the Lord to help. Two over here, right? That was close. I was aiming the skim off your head. No, there should be two. There's one at the front, one at the back. One, two, three, four. Start with red. Revelation 12. Oh, did it hang on. I'm going to tell you about red. Verses 3 and 4. Oh, we got two reds. That was a mistake. We had a yellow. Some green. Some with blue. Did I shoot five?
You shot six.
Oh, I did two. Sorry. Alright, so Revelation 12 verse 3 and 4, and the Bible introduces us here to this great red dragon, a wonder in heaven, a great red dragon. Just before that there's a woman ready to give birth and great with child, and then this dragon appears, and the Bible says his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and he'd cast them down to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Here we have this dragon, and then this dragon is a picture of Satan. It's the terminology that's been used to help us see Satan. And when we look at this woman, we see her as Israel and bringing Christ into the world. But the main thing we want to look at is just the reality of this dragon and the presence of this dragon. We're introduced to him, and there's this nasty picture of this terrifying beast. Let's go with blue. How many blue options do we have? Just one? Throw it here. And I want you to read verse 5 and 6, nice and loud, Colin. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. We're introduced to this great dragon. And we're introduced to this baby that was to be born that would rule all nations with a rod of iron. Are you ready for Bob? Revelations 19:11. Revelation 19:11. Yep. Verse 11 through 16. Nice and loud. Oh, you can't do that. Revelation 19 verse 11 through to 16, as loud and clear as you can. Thank you.
white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that bitteth to smite the nations. He shall walk with them a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh the name of King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
So here we have identified who it is that will rule the nations with a rod of iron. It is he that is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's the captain of our salvation. That's who is being pictured here. And so what we're seeing is that in Revelation, the picture being drawn of this battle, that here is the captain of our salvation to be born, and the dragon, the devil, sets up to devour, to kill off. He says, "This is my enemy." We see the battle start to be spelled out as to who the instigator is. And it's interesting when we read about the Lord in righteousness, he doth make war. Most of the wars that you see today, most of the fights that you see today are not fights of righteousness, they're fights of wickedness. They're fighting over money, and they're fighting over land, and they're fighting over evil desires. But there's been some wars raged over the years that have been wars of righteousness, where somebody has stood up and said, "No, that is wicked, and we will not allow it to come to pass, and we're going to oppose that. We're going to fight for righteousness' sake." And the Bible says here that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, in righteousness is how he makes war. So we see Satan, that great red dragon. We see a King of Kings who will rule the nations with a rod of iron. Just back casually to Revelation 12. We've done red, we've done blue. Let's go yellow. How many yellow options do we have? Let's go this side because we're just over here. So let's go here. Revelation 12, verse 7, 8, and 9. And can I have... Hey? Now, So, who's got the ones that I shot? Hold up the ones that I shot. Yeah, any others? But any who's got the ones I shot? One, two, three. And I've got a yellow. There should be more. Let's go red up the back, Lacey. Revelation 12, verse... 7, 8, and 9. Hang on a second. We had a child, had our captain, and with our captain we know there's all the holy angels. And we looked yesterday and over the days at Lucifer and his fall, and we see that with pride he was lifted up, and we see how he fell, but now he's making war. And the devil has angels. He's not a creator. He can't create them. But all of a sudden now, it's not just the devil that's against God, but there's a bunch of angels that have gotten in on the fight. There's a bit of a wonder there. The Bible says that his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven. Possible that that's talking about the influence he had on other angels. Whichever way it goes about, we know that the devil rose up in rebellion against God, but then a bunch of others rose up with him. Because the devil didn't just have a little tantrum and set himself up against God and was then left standing alone. But the Bible points out and shows us that there was a bunch of other angels that joined in that rebellion against God. And so now you no longer just have the devil, you have the devil and his angels. And now we don't have a boxing match, now we've got a war going on. Because it's not one man, but it's two armies. And you know, that influence doesn't just stop there. Who's got Bob? You ready? Here we go. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Oh! 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. The God of this world. Who's the prince of this world? Who's the God, little g, of this world? Any answers? Sam? The devil. The God of this world has blinded the eyes. You just don't want to see that. There's just some things we don't want to look at. We don't want to think about God. We just don't want to think about it. Don't look at God. Don't look at His Bible. Don't look at the preaching. Nope. Nope. Don't think about it. There's other things to worry about. And deceives and blinds. And if the devil can get you to neglect so great a salvation, then you find yourself remaining on his side. In his camp. See, to find yourself translated or transferred over to the sons that come with the sons of glory, the sons of God, that takes attending to your salvation, not a neglecting. That takes you to tend to it, and then the Lord does something in saving your soul, and He creates a new heart and a clean heart in you, and in Him you're born again, and you become a child of the Most High God. But if the devil can blind you and get you to neglect it and just not worry about it, then you remain in his camp. And this is something we see the devil's been doing from the very beginning, not just with us, but with the angelic hosts. With these angels of heaven, he gathered himself a following. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that most people that get into wickedness and sin drag a whole lot of other people's with them? You ever seen someone grow up in church and they decide they want the world and they go out into the world, and as they walk away from God and go out into the world, there's a couple other people that are caught up in the whirlpool of their wake leaving, and it troubles their walk, it influences them for wickedness. And they feel the pressure of, maybe I just want to go out into the world as well and just forget about God. Because we think we just stand on our own. But wickedness always encourages more wickedness. And the devil, he had devil and his angels. You were red, weren't you, Lacey? We've done blue, we've done red. Let's go yellow, Gareth. Revelation 12, verse 10 and 11. Yes, please. Good arm. Yeah, that hand I am. All righty. Verse 10 and 11, Gareth. The accuser of the brethren was cast down. The Bible says in John chapter 8 that the devil is a liar and the father of it. He's an accuser of the brethren. And you feel that in your own walk. See, when the Lord convicts you, He's convicting you of sin and try to bring some godly sorrow into your life that would bring you to repentance. But the devil's just an accuser. He's not trying to get you to change. He's just trying to get you to curl up into the fetal position and give up because you're miserable and rotten and no good and you just can't do it. And oh, you're just not good enough, and it's just too hard, and woe is me. And whereas the devil, he's accusing you to just tear you down. Whereas the Lord, He'll convict you, so that you might go, I am sorry, Lord, and I'll turn from that, and I'll serve You again. He's trying to convict you to get your attention, that you might look to Him. See, the difference between the conviction of God is when you're doing wrong, the Lord goes, oh, so that you look away from what your wrong is and you look to Him and go, oh yeah. Remember when the cock crowed, the rooster crowed, when Peter denied Christ? Who was looking at Peter? Jesus. At that moment, Peter looked to Jesus and realized what he'd done. But you know what the devil wants you to do? He wants you to look to you at how miserable you are. He's not going to try and get your attention to Christ. He's just going to try and get you to look at you and how much of a rotten, no good, horrible sort of a Christian you are. You can't do right even when you try. Have you felt that sort of conviction before? That sort of accusation before? I have. The devil's an accuser of the brethren. He's a liar, and he's the father of it. And he's been doing this all along, and the Bible says he's cast out. Do we have another reader? Got another ball floating around? Go to the green, M. Revelation 12, verse 12. The devil has come down unto you. Unto who? Unto the inhabitants of the earth. Can I have the ball, please? He's come down unto you, unto the inhabitants of the earth. Woe unto you, inhabitants of the earth. Because that warfare that was in heaven, the Bible says is now down here. And you don't get to see it with your eyes like you might see a battle raging on a field. But you do get to see it internally. Because that accuser of the brethren, that deceiver, every now and then, if you're lost, every now and then you'll get a glimpse of the light of the gospel and you'll go, hey, there's something there. But as soon as you see it, the devil comes along and goes, no, 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 look over there. Because you're rotten anyway, you miserable little creep. What do you think you are? Starts whispering accusations in your ear and points you away. And you go, oh, it was just my imagination. No, it's not your imagination. It's a warfare raging. And the devil is cast down here. And woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Because the devil is cast down and he knows he doesn't have much time. And just as it becomes the captain of our salvation to bring many sons unto glory, that rebel, that thief, that murderer, the devil, desires to mimic Christ and take with him many captives to that place prepared for the devil and his angels. So woe to the inhabitants of the earth, the devil has come. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Our last verse in Revelation, Verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's cast down to earth and he went to make war. And who did he go to make war with? The remnant of the woman's seed. Those who keep the commandments, the Bible says there, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So the devil's down here, and woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Whether you know him or not, woe unto you. Because if you don't know him and the existence of the devil, and if you don't know Christ and the reality of Christ and him as your captain, if you don't know of these individuals, it's still woe unto you when the devil's down here on this earth, because he's going to put every temptation and desire and distraction in front of you to keep you away from Christ, that you might be so entangled with the cares of this world that you've got no time to give thought for God. But if you are one of God's children, then when the devil comes across your path, he says, that's who I'm going to make war with. That's who I'm going to attack. That's who I'm going to set myself against. Those which keep the commandments and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. There is a very real war raging. In 2 Corinthians 10, the Bible says, we do not war after the flesh. It's not a fleshly war. You can't go out and visit the battlefield. Ephesians tells us that we war against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a spiritual battle. And sometimes we convince ourselves, or we forget and we neglect ourselves, that there is a spiritual world and there's a spirit within us and there's a war raging. You've got to decide what you're going to do about that fight. Whether you're going to be a part of it on the Lord's side, or whether you're just going to be a casualty of it from the devil. If you ignore it and just pretend that it's not happening, you neglect so great a salvation. But if you tend to your salvation, you get placed in the ranks of that army of God. I know it's a little unseen, but it's very real. I pray the Lord might just open your eyes to it. And I hope tonight, Lord willing, we can spend some time just considering how we enter into that and the impact that has on us. So let's pray and ask the Lord to bless and open our eyes that we might see. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, I pray that you'd open our eyes, Lord. We might look to the hills from whence cometh our help, and we'll see that mighty host of your heavenly reality and your glory that fills the temple, and your angelic hosts, the angels of God, those holy angels, that warfare that's there. And we might be mindful, Lord, of the devil and his angels, and that, Lord, you would work in the hearts here this morning. We'd see our need to determine where we stand, which side effectively we fight on. Lord, I pray that we'd be mindful of that devil that walks about as a roaring lion. And we'd look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and the captain of our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.